All right, today we're going to continue our series, Change Your Sound. Turn to your neighbor and say, change your sound. Today we're learning, and we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about how sound really affects every part of our DNA. It affects our environment. We know this to be true. Sound affects our environment. It affects our attitude. Sometimes it makes you want to dance. Sometimes it makes you want to get a little romantic. Sometimes it makes you want to cry. Sometimes it makes you want to laugh. We know all sounds affect everything, doesn't it, in our life. That's the way God created us. So when we're changing our sound, we're saying we want something new to infect our environment. God, we're tired of hearing the old. We need something new. And the cool thing about it is that the Bible teaches us that God, there's something new that we can experience in God every day. Do you understand that? I mean, for the rest of our life, every day, we can hear something new from God. We can experience something new from God. And we'll never hear it all. We'll never experience it all. We'll never be able to take it all in. I mean, He is so complex. His mercies and His goodness, they're new every morning for us. And so today, I hope that this has been challenging you. We spent a lot of time talking about the sound of our worship, the sound of our praise the last few weeks. Now, I just tell you, there's so much here that I'm really going to, I believe we're going to take a step now. Here the next few weeks, we're going to take a step toward doing a different series. We're going to do a spinoff series. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to do a spinoff series and talk about the power of our words, because we haven't even started talking about that yet. Okay, and the Bible is very clear about the things that come out of our mouth affect every part of our life. I mean, the power of life and death are found in what comes out of our mouth. And so we're going to spend some time really talking about that, looking what the Bible says about that and how it affects our life every day, so we can continue to change our sound. We're going to continue to change what's coming out of our mouth. How many want to hear that message? You want to hear that? Okay. So that's coming up in a few weeks. Today I want to talk to you about change your sound. We're talking about what does Jesus want me to hear? What does Jesus want me to hear? You know, one of the things I love, and if you know me very often, you know that I love athletic competition. I love playing it. I love coaching it. I coached all of my kids when they were younger. I've had a chance to coach. I had a chance to play. It's an awesome experience. And one of the greatest experiences as a coach, and to play for a coach and to do it yourself, is to bring a group of kids together, bring a group of teenagers together, or young men together, or women together, and you teach them and get them to motivate them to play as a team. I mean, and what happens is we see that people who are less talented who play as a team oftentimes will beat more talented people because they don't play together as a team. And so great coaches understand that. And great coaches can bring the best out of his players. He can motivate them. He knows how to give the halftime speeches. He knows how to give the pregame speech, the postgame speech. I mean, they just motivate you. One of the cool things that we went through last year when Landon was getting offers from D1 schools, we had a lot of coaches that would come into our home or come down to visit us in this area. And one of the first guys who offered them D1 was Army. And so Army came in at West Point Academy, wanted to talk to my son about playing football. And the coach there who we were visiting with said, listen, we go after guys who the other schools, the Alabamas and the Oklahomas, the Alabamas and Oklahomas, we know we're not going to get those guys. But we go after those guys that are just as good as them, but they're about an inch or two shorter than them. Because they don't quite meet up, you know, to play at that kind of level, they'll play on the offensive line, they want you 6'4 to 6'8. I mean, monster. And if you're not even 6'4 to 6'8, they, even though you're good, they won't take you. And so we go after guys that are just as good as those guys, but they're about an inch or two shorter, and they didn't quite make the cut for the really big schools. And we bring them here, and we just look for guys who want to get after it. And then we motivate them. We keep our playbook simple because these guys are in full military academy, plus they're doing full D1 football schedule. We keep it very simple. We just get guys, and we motivate them. We teach them to want to run through a brick wall. I seen this last year. They were coming, and they were actually trying to recruit. I saw this video last year after Army's really big upset win last year. Look at the coach here in the locker room. Tell me if this doesn't get you motivated. Look.
Come on,
Come on now, don't you want to get up and just run through a brick wall right there? I mean, motivating you, telling you you want to get up and do something. I mean, I'm like, I still got a year of eligibility left. I'm going. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. It makes you want to get up and do something. Great motivators know how to come in at a time when you're down, when you're being beaten, when you have no chance, you're the underdog, and they say, get up and fight, man. Get up and inspire you to go on to do great things. You know, Jesus actually had a moment like this. There was a moment after he had been crucified, he was buried, and now all of his disciples are in hiding. All of his disciples are in hiding. They're there. They're living in fear. They're like, all right, they crucified Jesus. Now they're going to come and try to crucify us. And then also they're there, they're living in shame and guilt. I mean, all these things going on. And Jesus shows up, calls the time out, and he says something to them. He does something in just a few short verses that changed the world. Not only did he die on the cross, not only was he buried and resurrected, but what had happened now is Jesus shows up to them, takes these guys who are living in fear, and begins to motivate them. And we know this, the rest is history. The gospel goes out from that point. The gospel is spread. The gospel is preached. And these people go out on fire, ready to give their life for Jesus, no matter what the cost was. What happened? What happened? Well, today, we're going to get insight. And I want you to hear, this is, I believe, today, if Jesus could communicate anything to us, he would want us to hear some of these same things today. Number one, write this down. He wants us to hear that Jesus meets us where you are. Jesus meets us where you are. John 20:19. Now, let's pick it up. Now, see, what happened here is on the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with locked, what? With the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came, stood among them, and said, peace be with you. Now, what we see happening now is disciples are living in fear. They crucified Jesus. They're going to try to crucify us. What's going on? So they're hiding, living in fear, and Jesus shows up to them, and he comes exactly where they are. See, when you're living in fear, Jesus will show up. I want you to hear today. When you're living in fear and you have anxiety and things going on, you're like, what? What's going on? You know, you're not alone because Jesus will walk right through the middle of that room. He'll get right down in the middle of your fear. He doesn't leave you alone. You are not alone. Come against that voice that tells you you're alone. And today you hear what Jesus says. He shows up in the greatest hour of defeat. He shows up in the greatest hour of chaos and fear. And he shows up in the middle of that room. Why? Because he's not intimidated. He shows up in our fear. And he wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear something. He wants to show out in our lives. You are not alone. And he meets us where we are. He shows up in the middle of our storm. He shows up in the middle of the fire. Just ask the three Hebrew children. Just ask Daniel. He shows up in the middle of the lion's den. I'm telling you, in your greatest hour of fear, Jesus is there. If Jesus shows up, you are not alone. He is here with you today. So get out of your mind that you're alone. No, no, no. Jesus shows up. I'm not at my top of my game, Pastor. I'm not motivated right now, Pastor. I'm injured. I'm on the sideline. I may never play again. Today, I'm telling you, Jesus is here. Jesus is showing up in your midst, and he says, peace be with you. Today, I have a question for you. Are you living in fear? Are you living in fear? If you're living in fear today, Jesus wants to walk right in the middle of that room and sit with you. How many people today, I wonder, if we could really be truthful, how many of us today are really living behind locked doors? How many of us have allowed life, the setbacks, disappointments, the hurts, the rejection, the betrayal, to put us behind locked doors? We walk in, we shut the door. Oh, nobody else may know this, but emotionally, relationally, attitude, spirit, we lock the door and we say this: I'm tired of being hurt. I don't want to be hurt anymore. I'll never love anymore. I'll never trust anymore. I'll never serve anymore. I'll never give anymore. Why? Because I've been hurt. And we allow those things to come, and they lock behind those doors. This fear is keeping us locked there. And the great news is this, that Jesus comes right through that door today, and he looks in the middle of our fear, and he speaks to you and I today. He's speaking to us. We've all been hurt, and Jesus shows up in the middle of our hurt. He walks through those doors. He speaks to us. Write this down, number two. He also wants you to hear this. He speaks encouragement to us. He speaks encouragement to us. Look what the last part of 19 says here. We just read it. Peace be with you. So he walks through the locked doors, and then he walks in and says, peace be with you. Jesus says, calm down. Jesus says, simmer down now. Chill out. It's going to be okay. See, he walks right into the middle of our fear. Right in the middle of our locked doors, he speaks the word of peace. We know once we did that in the storm, didn't he? He spoke to the storm, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves had to obey him. He walks in the middle of our fear, and he speaks, peace be with you. This is so important today. Because think about it today. As the disciples were there, and they're living behind locked doors. Why were they behind locked doors? Because they were fearful. Also, can you imagine what they were expecting Jesus to say to them the first time they meet? I mean, if that had been us, let's be honest. If that had been us and we were Jesus and the disciples abandoned us, if they betrayed me, some of them betrayed me, sold me for silver, denied me when I warned them they would deny me, and he did it anyway. And then in my greatest hour of pain and rejection, the guys I spent 3 years living with, training, pouring into, teaching them everything I know, they scatter. So in their mind, I think they had to expect Jesus to show up and say, where were you? What happened to you? Could you not even at least follow along to the crowd? It'd have been nice to see some people encourage me there. It'd have been nice to know you were silently praying for me there. He had to pull out some guy I didn't even know into out of the crowd to carry my cross. It'd have been nice if one of my own disciples could have carried the cross. You guys left me alone. You guys abandoned me. You betrayed me when I warned you, and you did it anyway. Do we hear that coming from Jesus? No. The first thing he does is he steps behind the closed doors, the locked doors, steps into the middle of their fear, and looks ahead of him and says, peace. I love that about Jesus. See, he speaks encouragement. He's not here to speak condemning words. He's not there to tell us we've blown it. We know we've blown it. He says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. And he doesn't come to bring a word of condemnation. He comes to bring a word of peace and restoration. It's what Jesus does. Who condemns? The Bible says the enemy is the one who condemns. Satan is the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that says, oh, you're not worthy. Oh, you blew it. Jesus will never use you. Jesus doesn't love you anymore. You're not his favorite. All these things he'll tell you and speak to you comes from Satan. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says this, I show up in the middle of your fear, your greatest hour of thinking I'm going to chastise you, correct you, condemn you. And what I do, I show up and say, guys, peace. Peace be with you. How powerful is that for you and I today? How powerful of an example of what Jesus really wants us to hear. They were not only living in fear, they were living in shame. And Jesus steps up and says nothing about that. He simply says, peace be with you. Wow. He wants you to hear that today. How powerful is it when they were expecting condemnation? Instead, he speaks peace. This has set you free today, knowing God doesn't want you to live your life hearing condemnation. He wants you to hear your life and live your life hearing encouragement. He comes to bring the encouragement. Peace be with you. Get up. It's all right. We're going to do it. Get up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Peace be with you. You're okay. See, nobody understands your greatest fears in life like Jesus. Nobody understands your greatest fears in life like Jesus. Pastor, how could Jesus really understand my greatest fears? He was fully God, but the Bible says he was also fully man. He was fully the Son of God, but yet he was fully the Son of Man as well. The Bible says that on the night before his crucifixion, that he goes to pray. And while he's there praying, he understands what's coming. He understands the beating it's going to take. And he understands the stripes upon his back. He understands the nails upon the cross. He understands the spear in his side. He understands the nails in his feet and hands. He understands it. He understands the betrayal. He understands the rejection. He understands even his father. The Bible says that even God himself had to turn his face. And he prayed out. He said, God, if there is any other way, if there's any other way to bring redemption to man other than me dying on the cross, let this cup pass from me and let your will be done. Otherwise, let your will be done. And it says he was under so much stress and intense prayer and anxiety about what was about to happen. It says that he began to sweat drops of blood. Now, I've heard people say this is just figurative. Jesus actually didn't sweat drops of blood. But now scientists and doctors have actually proven that it's actually possible for a person to be so stressed and to cry so hard and to be under so much stress that they can actually bust blood vessels that are connected to the tear ducts and sweat ducts, and actually sweat drops of blood. You're talking about being under anxiety. You talk about being under fear. Jesus understands what it means to have these 12 who I've poured into to abandon me in my greatest time of need. My father, Father, where art thou? Where are you, Father? Why have you forsaken me? I mean, he understands rejection. Crucify him. Crucify him, even though he was innocent without sin. Give us Barabbas. No, you take Jesus. Give us the thief. He understands the greatest hurts and pains. He understands. That's why he can walk in the middle of our greatest hurt and pain and say, peace be unto you. Peace be unto your life. Nobody tackles our fears like Jesus. He understands them. He's been there. So what's your greatest fear today? What's your greatest pain? What's your greatest trust issue? Jesus understands it. Look what Philippians says in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It tells us, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to God. And what happens then? And then the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, comprehension, he goes, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's his peace that he speaks to you and I. He wants you to hear the peace of God. He wants you to hear the encouragement. He wants you to hear today. It's what guards my mind. It's what guards my heart. It's his peace. I must change. We must change our sound today to hear the peace of God into our life. No matter what we're going through, we must hear God speaking to our fear. God speaking behind our closed doors. God speaking to us. Peace be to you. Not condemnation, but peace. Number three, write this down. He wants you to really see this and experience this. He wants you to know that he shows us his love. He shows us his love. John 20, 20. And before I read this verse, I love the fact that this verse happens to be John 20, 20. Does anybody know what 20, 20 stands for? Clear vision, right? Perfect vision. And some of you may think it's just coincidence. I happen to believe that the Holy Spirit had a lot going on right behind us. I believe he really wanted us to see that. Listen, you grasp this, and you begin to see things with 20/20 vision. Just my personal opinion. After he said this, he showed up to them. He showed them what? His hands, his sides. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. See, something happened here. He didn't just tell them. After he speaks the peace, he shows them his nails. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side that was pierced. What was he doing this? Because before this, he had told them he loved them. Before this, he had taught them that he loved them. But now, he was showing them, look, these are the nail-pierced hands. Thomas, is it really you? Yes, Thomas. Feel. Put your hand right here. Feel. He was showing them. He didn't just say he loved them. He didn't just teach them he loved them. He showed them. He said, look, guys, look. Here's the nail-pierced hands. Look, this is where they put the spear into my side. Put your hand back here. You can see it. This is where I was stabbed. Look, I did this for you. My love for you led me to the cross. My love for you kept me on the cross, because the Bible says at any moment that Jesus could have called down legions of angels to come down and set him free and to do battle. But not once does he cry out for that. Instead, he faces the rejection. Why? Because he loved us. He didn't just tell you he loved you. He showed you he loved you. He didn't just tell me that he loved me. He showed me he loved me. And he shows up in the middle of that chaos, fearful state, speaks peace, and then says, look, let me show you. I really do love you. See, it changes. Jesus changes everything. When I experience his love, I experience his grace. I've said a lot here, and I believe it's worth repeating today, that we have the clear definition of God's love for us is this, is that God will never love me any more than he loves me right now. He won't love you any more than he loves you right now. And the opposite is also true. God won't love you any less than he loves you right now. Listen, today, his love for us is not based off a performance. It's not performance-based. His love for us is not performance-based. I don't earn his love. He shows up and he gives it to me. He shows up and speaks it over me. I don't earn it. You don't earn it. We're not that good. He gives it to us. See, there's two things that will really weigh us down more than anything else. The two things that weigh us down is guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment. And Jesus shows up. He doesn't bring 1 ounce of guilt, and he doesn't show 1 ounce of resentment. He didn't say anything about where were you. Didn't condemn them, didn't shame them. He just brought peace, showed them his love. See, today, guilt and resentment keep you behind the locked doors. That's where you live in fear. Oh, man, I'm a horrible person. Oh, I've had a horrible month. Oh, man, I'm a horrible person, and it keeps me locked behind there. God, I'm such an idiot. God, you can't use me. God, I don't deserve you. And we beat ourselves down, and we lock the door from the outside, and we throw out the key, and we allow guilt and resentment. I've been hurt. I resent it. And it keeps me locked behind the closed doors. And Jesus really wants you to hear today that he shows up behind our closed doors. And he doesn't bring guilt. He doesn't show any ounce of resentment. Why? Because he wants you free from guilt and resentment. He wants me free from guilt and resentment today. He shows up. He destroys that with his words of peace and words of love, and shows them a love. He wants you to live your life free of guilt and resentment. He shows up. Why? Because his love sets us free. Look what Psalms 32 says. Verses 1 and 2. Blessed. Now, when this word blessed here, it actually translates happy. So not only are you blessed, but man, you're happy. Because blessed and happy is the one whose transgressions are what? Forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Our transgressions are forgiven. Whose sins are covered. He was blessed and happy is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Are you understanding this? He's not showing up and pointing out all your sins that you have. He shows up and he speaks to your life and says, let the peace of God rule. Get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the condemnation. Because if you'll concentrate on my love, if you'll see my love, if you'll experience my love and you receive my peace, it will change your life. It sets you free. He shows up. He speaks to us. And look at this last point. Write it down, number 4. It says that he wants to fill us. Jesus really wants you to hear this and understand. He wants to fill us. What's he want to fill us with? Look what it says in verse 22 of the story. Same story, John 20. So remember, now Jesus, first of all, what's he do? He comes through the locked doors, addresses their fears with the peace, speaks peace over them. Shows them his love. Here are my hands. Here's my side. And then what's he do? It says then he looks at them. He breathes on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, they were getting something there that was going to happen a few days later. On the after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out for all flesh that were there seeking. But they received something that day. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He spoke it to them. And I want you to know today, Jesus wants you to hear this, that he wants to fill you. He said, it is good that I go back to the Father because I'm sending an advocate who's going to come and he's going to change your life. He's going to dwell with every one of you individually. It's called the Holy Spirit. And if you allow him today, he will fill your life. The Holy Spirit will fill your life fresh and anew. Every day of your life, you can receive a fresh inpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit every day. And when you do, it changes your sound. No longer am I influenced by the sounds from the outside. But when I begin to fill myself with the Holy Spirit, I begin to hear the voice of the Lord. I hear the voice of a leading of the Holy Spirit. I hear the voice that doesn't bring condemnation, but says, I am with you. I can help you through this. You're going to make it. I've got a word for you today. I've got a work for you today. I've got a blessing for you today. You are not walking in guilt. You're not going to be living in resentment. But I've come to set you free. I've come to empower you. I've come to speak to you. He breathed upon them and the Holy Spirit filled them. If you are not living full of the Holy Spirit, your sound will never change. Are you hearing me today? It's through the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life that our sound changes. Well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit many years ago. But have you been filled today? Have you been filled this year? Have you said, God, I want more of you. God, fill me. Fill me every day, fresh and anew. God, fill me fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. We can receive that feeling. God, I need you to fill me. God, I need you to speak to me. Why? Because it changes everything. He wants us to be filled with this Holy Spirit. Why? So our sound will change. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? So to empower us to live free from guilt and condemnation. He wants us to be filled. Why? So that we can be empowered to be his witnesses. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today. What does Jesus want me to hear? That's what he wants you to hear today. He wants you to hear that he loves you. He wants you to hear his peace coming to you. He wants you to hear that he shows up in your greatest hour of fear. He shows up and he is there, speaking peace, showing you his love, and saying, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. As you stand up today, I want you just to bow your heads where you're at, where you're standing. Can you just bow your heads where you're standing? If you're here today, say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today I need to accept the work of the cross. I need to accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I've never done that before. We won't do anything to single you out, I promise, or to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today, you just want to say it to me, Pastor, today's my day. I'm accepting Jesus where I'm standing today. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand and say it's me? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Several hands. Say, today's my day. I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One more time. If you haven't raised it right now. Say, I'm joining these. Thank you. I see you there. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat it after me out loud. As Christians standing around you, we're going to help you along and say it with you. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I accept your grace and love today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you all of my days. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on. This is why we're here. Several hands going up today. This is why we're here. This is why we're here for you today. To know that Jesus loves you. That Jesus cares for you. He died for you. He showed you his love. Now today, if you prayed that prayer before you leave, I'm going to invite you to stop by our hub. You're going to get a free Bible, some other information we want you to have as our gift. We're so proud of you today. If you don't have a church home, get plugged in. Now, the rest of us here today, how many say, Pastor, you are preaching to me today. God's speaking to me. He's changing my sound. He wants me to get out of my fear. He wants me to get out of my locked doors. He's calling me out behind my locked doors today. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you as we sing this song in closing. To join me along the front, step out of your seat of faith and say, God, I'm stepping into a new season. God, I'm stepping into a new sound. Join us at the front as we sing this song today. Come on. Jesus, you change everything. So I want to do, I'm going to invite you to lift your hands around the front today. You're standing out there as well. You say, Pastor, I want a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit today in my life. I'm ready to receive not only the word you spoke today, but I want to receive a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I thank you. Lord, I thank you that your word says that, God, we can receive the fullness of your glory. We can receive the fullness of your Holy Spirit. So right now, Father, with every hand raised across the building, I speak right now, may the Holy Spirit fill them fresh and new. Be filled with the Holy Spirit today, fresh and anew, empowering you, changing us to feeling our hearts and life today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that God, you begin to fill us fresh and new with an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our lives. God, may it change the way we live our life right now. God, we can't go off of yesterday's blessing or what happened 10 years ago. God, may there be something new awakened within us. God, may there be an awakening happening in our spirit where we know that you're speaking to us, that you're feeling us. And so right now, I say in the name of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. If you receive that today, put your hands together and say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Today, I'm ready. How about you? Turn to somebody, give a big high five, and say, God is so good. God is so good. We love you. Thank you so much for being here today. Let Jesus change your sound. Don't forget to sign up for the volunteers for KidFest.